Welcome one, welcome all. This is the Next Step Radio Show. I'm your host, Jacob Appleman. Thank you for joining us today, here at the seventh episode of the brand new broadcast at the Antimatter Zone Radio Network. If you've been with us since the first episode, you well know that this is billed as a solutions-based radio show. What we want to do is take all the information out there in the truth movement and try and boil down what we've now learned together into real manageable solutions. I term it real solutions real people can really achieve. And a lot of issues come down to a change you need to make. There are things you can do in your life to combat what we in the truth movement know as the dark ones or the new world order, because at some point that rubber meets the road. And there's things we can do to affect positive change. One of the most vital pieces of that change that you can make in your own life is simply by the way you think. Being a radical skeptic, as Jeffrey Grupp from Antimatter Radio deems it, that's a pretty good synopsis of a mind frame. Now that we know 9/11 was, not what they claim. We know Oklahoma City was not what they claim. There's more to Columbine than what they said. Iraq War, the first one in 91, started the baby in the incubator story was fabricated. The USS Liberty, the Gulf of Tonkin, and you can just go backwards, and then you have this list of what seems like separate events. And then you stop and you look at the whole page and you go, wait a minute. They might be lying about all of it. Not just these false flag events, not just the problem reaction solution, not just media hype and hysteria. We need to consider the fact now that the preponderance of what we consider information from the mainstream, from the education system, from our parents, from the government, whatever that is, may in fact be a giant house of cards built on a foundation of lies, hovering over smoke and mirrors. So being a radical skeptic doesn't mean you deny everything and go hide in the woods. discernment, looking within yourself, asking the deepest parts of your own true wisdom to guide you is essential. And the freshly awake tend to get comfortable with knowing 9/11 was an inside job and that the Republicans and Democrats are working together to enslave humanity, that the money's fiat and the bankers wish to enslave everybody to debt. And then that becomes what I see mostly in the truth movement as the status quo. People are now identifying themselves with not believing the lie. But they fall short of, you know, it's like that next layer. You're like, oh wow, Fox is lying and CNN is lying. But there's this Alex Jones guy and he seems to be honest, and so then they just park all their horses, you know, in that one barn. But in this change we each need to make, we need to be radically skeptical. And that doesn't mean shutting out people, ideas, or information. That means we need to combine lots of information from lots of sources. And in this first week plus of broadcast here on the Next Step Radio Show, I've tried to play for you, you know, a small sampling of my previous work in the truth movement. The audio documentaries I call suicides. And if you're interested and you don't know, www.infowarts.com. The bigger message to the audio documentaries I make is we need to collect all of this information and not pick and choose. And it, you know, it's like the pyramid system. This top-down structure that we've all identified as having, you know, the eye of Lucifer at the top. So many people then say, well, let's try and put the eye of not Lucifer up there. Whether it's the Second Coming or Buddha or, you know, the Holy God. In actuality, the pyramid structure itself is the demonic force. It retards our growth. It keeps us in this perpetual state of, juvenile infantilism. The pyramid structure itself needs to be fully examined. And so the point I'm trying to clarify is when you figure out Fox News, you know, previously had been the eye of your pyramid in your, you know, news political realm. Well, now you figured out that's the eye of Lucifer up there. So then you find, you know, an alternative talk show host. You know, the George Norrie types, the Alex Jones types, the Joyce Riley types, the Jeff Rentz types. There's all these other news information sources that aren't the mainstream. So then people put at the top of that pyramid candidate A, B, C, or D. But when in actuality, the pyramid structure itself is the problem, and what we now need to do is not funnel all of our energy up to one point. Basically, we need to invert that pyramid and make ourselves the capstone that is now considering information from up above, that what used to be the base of the pyramid is now going to be our starting point. So we're going to consider information from a plethora of sources, and you may not find the one truth teller. You may not find the guy that has all the answers. You may not find the lady that knows it to a T and is infallible and beyond reproach. No, make yourself the ultimate expert on any topic. Turn that pyramid upside down, make yourself the capstone, and then as you look up and the pyramid expands out, that old base, the wide variety, the many opinions, being radically skeptical means you consider a variety of information, weigh it against reality, balance it against your own experience and what you know to be true, and you'll get closer to the truth, way closer than anybody will bring it to you. I used to have this saying that goes something like, truth is what I'm after, not somebody to lead me there. So all of this is a long rambling intro into some 9/11 information, because we all in the truth movement have become comfortable with the Thermate and whatever happened at the Pentagon. But there's still lots of holes left. The bigger picture is we all agree and accept that they are lying, and we need to come together to discredit them, to take our power back, to not live in fear of the next attack, because the truth is out there. 9/11 did happen. And that evil reared its ugly head. This demonic force started the unmasking process to the masses at that point. And that should be enough information to help you guide yourself. And for those people who are in the truth movement like me that still want to know what happened and don't take any one person's word for it, and we're gathering the truth and examining all possibilities, there's a lady. Her name is Dr. Judy Wood. Her website, www.drjudywood.com. She's compiled lots and lots of information. You can sum that up with her interpretation of that information. But there's pictures and equations and news feeds and whistleblower information, scientific research that she's coalescing into her thesis. And the bigger point I want to stress here is not, hey, everybody, I found the answer. It's Dr. Judy Wood. Go listen to her. She figured it out. No, that's not the case. Dr. Judy Wood approached the 9/11 truth movement with an open mind and found things, anomalies, photos, different aspects of what happened that day that don't fit even into what we consider the 9/11 truth movement. And like I said, the who's right isn't important here. Understanding and learning and continuing our journey, because see, the truth movement has that word move in it. You've got to keep moving. If you become comfortable and sit on a pile of new beliefs that are immutable and unmovable, then you've only repeated what we're trying to move away from in our previous mindset. So with this being the week of 9/11, I want to stress the importance to those in the truth movement who have, for example, the no planes thesis, well, they just stay away from it. The directed energy weapons, well, that's not on any documentary I've seen, so they stay away from it. Don't get so comfortable in one way of thinking. Always be willing to consider more information, because the act of considering more information makes you a stronger and a better person and more able and better equipped to deal with whatever else the topic may be, whether it's education or food or family, relationships, marriage, children, parenting, all of these other topics that we have to deal with in our life are going to require some of the basic fundamental mindsets and approaches that I feel are left out in what we would call solutions to what we now face. So what I want to do today is play a few audio clips of a Dr. Judy Wood presentation where she's just simply laying out some of the information she's gathered that doesn't fit in the Thermite box. It doesn't fit in the box cutter terrorist box. It doesn't fit in blue beam, completely holographic box. There's anomalies that I think are important that we in the truth movement should take a listen to. And if you've heard this, let it sink in, pass the information around. If you haven't, consider it. Go to her website, drjudywood.com. Just look at some of the photos of the damage to vehicles. See, because the World Trade Center complex is a large area. Towers 1 and 2, obviously the most famous. Those of us who are awake know about Building 7. But look at some of the damage to Building 3 and some of the other surrounding structures and vehicles, not in the parking lot. There's some, I believe it's on the FDR Parkway. And if you look at an overhead map of Lower Manhattan, let's see, we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, if I'm counting that right, 9 city blocks away from the quote-unquote attacks, and there's this bizarre damage to vehicles. Anyway, that's what her website's for. I want to give her some time to lay out some of this information. Not because now I think she's right and here's all the answers. Because if we want to change our mindset and move through this matrix and break out of this web of deceit, the ultimate solution rests with each of us. And part of that is going to have to be each one of us including information that makes us uncomfortable, that we haven't heard yet, and considering the possibility that those of us in the truth movement don't have all the answers either. And this might be a lifelong journey that we're on now, is to investigate all of these lies we've been told to their fullest, going over the information multiple times, and considering other radical skeptics who aren't satisfied, don't get comfortable, and have that burning desire to know. Without any further ado...
Well, we cannot ignore that part too. If there were put options, how easy could it be to find out who plays those put options? But that's a different story.
I have seen no evidence to show that there were put options or that there's money made, and, you know, until I see that, it's just speculation.
That anything dealing with microwaves or directed energy weapons is a definitely no-no for anybody to talk about, Dr. Wood.
Correct. How I define directed energy weapons, it's energy that's directed and is used as a weapon. Very general category. It comes out of Tesla technology. A block or two north of Building 7, filming the event, could pick up low-level conversations down the street. Wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? That right there voids their conclusion as well. If you have a 47-story building, quote, collapsing to the ground, that's going to sound like it's raining dump trucks. And it was silence. What 47-story building just goes away without making a thud?
So do you know if any of these, you don't want to call them weapons, but they really be created in such a magnitude to deliver the results seen at the World Trade Center?
Well, is the tower still there?
Is there an epicenter out there that took that ball and ran with it, and now millions of people follow that, and the powers that be, or the powers that want to be, are happy because they're just spreading this information?
Yes.
But why do you speculate that you have not been that public in the sense that the media has not had you on TV to explain your work?
Oh, but then people might realize it's out there, because there are people who, in their own mind, intuitively kind of think that, but nobody else is saying it, so they hold their thoughts themselves. Look what I did on day one. Nobody was listening to me, so I shut up. And it's human nature.
As a matter of fact, I remember seeing some pictures where supposedly the temperature at certain spots was about over 800 degrees Fahrenheit, yet there were firemen standing right there.
And standing in water right there up to their knees.
Yes, wouldn't the water be boiling?
A steam explosion, like Chernobyl.
Less than a week later, all that steel was shipped to China.
Wait. That's, you're repeating one of these checklist things that you've memorized. You don't have any evidence that steel was shipped away to China or whatever.
Oh, okay. So you see, folks, see how brainwashed I was?
I have a photograph taken before noon on 9/11 that shows the flat football field.
Uh-huh.
What steel was shipped away? Did it get shipped away in the first 3 minutes?
This is almost like a movie, and those are actors. Now, why do you believe they did an alert? I mean, it was there. We have pictures of that hurricane from 2001. if you're a New York City citizen, if you had to ask that question to the weather department, the meteorological department, what would they say to you?
I did. And they said, you're wrong. You, there wasn't a hurricane that day. I said, well, go look.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
They're saying that there was not a hurricane standing east of the city.
Well, they didn't look. They didn't, because they weren't aware of it at all.
Now, let's take a moment to talk, and I know you cannot discuss your Supreme Court case. And, folks, yes, there is a Supreme Court case. Can you explain?
It's a type of whistleblower case where if citizens see the government is being defrauded.
Well, basically, what I'm asking is, can you comment on the personal attacks you've gone through since filing the Kitan?
Yeah, that's the personal attacks is pretty horrendous. You have to be kind of tough to be in this business. Because it's like every official agency is after me, and every unofficial agency is after me. You know, the truth movement is after me. Everyone, I'm pretty much blacklisted everywhere. And
and after today, the truth movement will be after me.
Yeah, it can go after you too. Yeah, these aren't people who have thought through anything. They're just trained. They don't realize that they're reacting. They've been brainwashed.
What can people do knowing now what we do?
Speak the truth. Always speak the truth.
And we're back. What you just heard there, those were a few clips from the Mel Fabregas show. I think that's how you pronounce it. And that might have went by just a little quick. So much of her evidence is visual. That's just a good highlight of some of the topics. The dustification, the directed energy weapons, particle disruption. Her research is extensive, and I can only urge you after listening to this is to go to her website, drjudywood.com. At the very least, There's sections of pictures that you're not going to believe. Bizarre damage to cars, things made out of metal on fire next to things not made out of metal, not even hot. On her website, she has a page where the key evidence is broken down. I just want to go over just a few of the, she calls it the principal evidence that must be explained. The Twin Towers were destroyed faster than physics can explain by a free fall speed collapse. They underwent mid-air pulverization and returned to dust before they hit the ground. The protective bathtub was not significantly damaged by the destruction of the Twin Towers. The rail lines, the tunnels, and most of the rail cars had only light damage, if any. The WTC Underground Mall survived well. The seismic impact was minimal, far too small based on comparison with the King Dome controlled demolition. The Twin Towers were destroyed from the top down, not the bottom up. The demolition of WT-7 was whisper quiet, and the seismic signal was not significantly greater than the background noise. The upper 80%, approximately, of each tower was turned into fine dust and did not crash to the earth. The upper 90% of WT-7 was turned into fine dust and did not crash to the earth. One file cabinet with folder dividers survived. No toilets or even recognizable portions of one. Windows of nearby buildings had circular and other odd-shaped holes cut in them. The marble facade was completely missing from Building 1 and Building 2. Fuzzballs, evidence that the dust continued to break down and become finer and finer. The fuming of the dirt pile. Weird fires, the appearance of fires, but without the evidence of heating. Lack of high heat. Columns were curled around vertical axes like rolled-up carpets. Office paper was densely spread throughout Lower Manhattan, unburned, often alongside cars that appeared to be burning. Vertical round holes were cut into buildings 4, 5, and 6 and into Liberty Street in front of the Bankers Trust and into Vesey Street in front of WTC 6, plus a cylindrical arc was cut into Bankers Trust. All planes except top secret missions were ordered down until 10:30 a.m. Approximately 1,400 motor vehicles were towed away, toasted in strange ways during the destruction of the Twin Towers. And that's a good section of her website that I highly recommend people check out, because even if you can't wrap your mind around directed energy weapons and, you know, the collapse, at least go examine the pictures and the bizarre damage to, she says, 1,400 motor vehicles. You know, I didn't count them. I've just seen lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of pictures of very bizarre cars. And these vertical round holes cut into the tops of buildings 4, 5, and 6 in Liberty Street. Definitely take a look at those photos, because even, like I said, you don't buy this 100%. You know, and she'll make that point a little later on the directed energy weapons that they don't have verifiable proof. But again, there's documented evidence that thermite and thermite don't fully explain either. There were many flipped cars in the neighborhood of the WTC complex near trees with full foliage. Magnetometer readings in Alaska recorded abrupt shifts in the Earth's magnetic field with each of the events at the World Trade Center on 9/11. Now here, and I save this for very last, is a very bizarre piece to 9/11 that definitely doesn't fit the conventional story, nor, you know, what we, a lot of us think is the 9/11 truth movement. Search engine this, look it up, ponder it, let it sift in and settle down and sit in your belly with all of your 9/11 truth. If you want to know what happened that day and you want to know the situation we're in and things we face and what's possible. Hurricane Erin, located just off of Long Island on 9/11/01, went virtually unreported in the days leading up to 9/11, including omission of this hurricane on the morning weather map, even though that portion of the Atlantic Ocean was still shown on the map. Now that may sound odd, because I have been in the 9/11 truth movement for 7.5, 8 years. I've spoken with lots of people, seen lots of documentaries, had this discussion over and over. You can fully document Hurricane Erin just off of Long Island on that day. That's a true statement. But very, very few people know that. And with the hype about hurricanes that we've gotten, even pre-Katrina, there's something really bizarre about that that needs to be fully explained. Now, a directed energy weapon would create massive amounts of energy. And as you explore that idea, to either piggyback the natural energy of a hurricane and or like a ground wire, a place to direct the displaced energy, you know, there's something that's tied in there. And as more people objectively observe and investigate the truth, you know, the more we can, you know, get closer to understanding directed energy weapons. If that indeed is the case, you know, that's what was used. Another big piece of her evidence is the dustification, is what I believe she calls it. There's lots of math and equations. It's real dull to read through. But basically, the amount of debris left at ground zero doesn't calculate out to be the full volume, mass, weight, dimensions of the building pre-demolition. If you remember or you've seen the landscape shot of the Manhattan skyline a few minutes after the events, as the pyroclastic cloud, it's not smoke from a fire. That's what I think a lot of people initially feel, that directly after the collapse, there's just a big plume of smoke. Well, it's not smoke because, although there is fires here and there, the bulk of that is aerosolized concrete and, God knows what else. Chasing people down the city blocks. We're all pretty familiar with that big puff of stuff that's expanding, moving out and away, long after the demolition is complete, long after it could be an effect from, just simply the blowing of air post-collapse. Large amounts of the concrete and other building materials, she terms it dustification, and that gets hot and it moves up and out and expands, and it goes all the way across the city, and there's even photos where you can see it, going out over the water. It's very bizarre. It's, I believe, only seen, and in one of her talks she goes over it, that pyroclastic cloud is only seen in volcanoes, thermonuclear weapons, and then, possibility of, directed energy weapons. But that mass of hot, dustified concrete expanding and moving away from the scene, it's not smoke. The dustification is another big piece to her collection of evidence. She gives a pretty good breakdown also here of beam weapons, energy weapons, directed energy weapons. All of those are interchangeable, and she just refers to it as DEW, D-E-W, directed energy weapons. We have used the term beam weapons and directed energy weapons to refer to unconventional weapons that are energy weapons. We broadly define DEW as energy that is directed and is used as a weapon. The full range of these weapons is classified, so we make no limits or distinction of the category within the realm of energy weapons, as doing so would imply specific knowledge of all that is available. In the following paragraph, we have listed some of the possibilities that we are aware of. Our critics have accused us of insisting that beam weapons did their damage from outer space, yet we make no claim about whether directed energy operated from space, air, or a ground-based platform. Nor do we make any claim about what wavelengths were used, what source of energy was used, whether it involved interference of multiple beams, whether it involved sound waves, whether it involved sonoluminescence, whether it involved antimatter weapons, whether it involved scalar weapons, whether it was HARP, whether it involved nuclear process, whether it involved conventional directed energy weapons, whether it involved improvised directed energy weapons, nor what kind of accelerator was used. Nor do we claim to know what serial numbers of the parts that were in these weapons. What we do claim is that the evidence is consistent with the use of energy weapons that go well beyond the capabilities of conventional explosives and can be directed. Little quote she tags at the end of that: when you have eliminated all which is impossible, then whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. And that's a pretty good quote, because the photos of the cars, the bizarre damage to the cars, doesn't fit into conventional explosives. Things on fire but not paper doesn't fit. Conventional explosives would obviously set the paper on fire too. And there's this phenomena of particle disruption that can be documented. A layman or a novice might refer to it as the Hutchison effect. Basically, when you shoot certain frequencies at certain matter, you can disrupt the molecular fabric of that material. And that's not science fiction or way out there kind of stuff. That's, you know, I'm sure we've all heard of Tesla, Tesla coils. You know, there's a high probability that these things exist, and simply all she's doing is asking the questions. And if, you know, that could be fully explained, you know, from something else, I would be open to hear it. I can't speak for Dr. Judy Wood. I'm sure she would be open to hear it. To acquire knowledge, one must study, but to acquire wisdom, one must observe. Is another quote here, and I think that's pretty good, because though people always want to know, oh, well, what's your conclusion? What's your conclusion? What do you think did it then? You know, there's, you know, obvious research in directed energy weapons. It's a subject that's not fully explained. It's not fully known, but it's worth asking, you know, what happened? Because, like I said, she's done a very good job of just asking questions and collecting evidence that doesn't fit into either the mainstream 9/11 commission official version, nor the thermite standard controlled demolition information. And that's not, you know, to call anybody out or say anybody's a gatekeeper. You know, when this subject is broached within all of us in the truth movement, it starts a lot of name calling and side choosing. And I think that's one of the main points of today's show, is to try and learn and teach each other that, you know, it's okay to disagree. It's okay to consider new information. It's okay to change your mind. Because let's face it, at one point, we all believed the official story. But then there was enough compelling information, and we had an open enough mind to consider it. And that's all I think Judy Wood is saying, and that's all that I'm saying. One of the most bizarre pieces of information to this whole puzzle is the hurricane I just mentioned. Hurricane Aaron was born on about the 1st of September 2001. It traveled up the Atlantic towards New York City. Hurricane Aaron was the closest to New York City on 9/11/01 and was the largest on this date. And I'd like to also restate that a large portion of her website is pictorial evidence. Go and look at these pictures. It's unbelievable stuff to a 9/11 researcher or somebody who wants to know what's going on, and you haven't delved into the Hurricane Aaron aspect of September 11th. You know, this is a must see. As we change our mindset and our thinking, aside from Dr. Judy Wood, there is the what's just commonly referred to as the no planes thesis. I think that there's lots of anomalies there to be considered. And again, collectively, as the 9/11 truth movement, not believing the official story is the main key. We all should just agree that the 9/11 commission report, the 9/11 commission report, is bunk, bogus, no bueno. I think we can work together to collect as much information as possible. You know, all the photographs taken that day. You know, Charlie Sheen one time said that if the JFK assassination is remembered by the Zapruder film, well, then 9/11 is the Zapruder Film Festival. You know, instead of being exclusory and punitive and petty, let's work together to combine all this information. If some of it's right, awesome. If some of it's wrong, you know, set it aside and move on. But let's not make this a dividing point and a team, you know, which side are you going to choose? This isn't a team sport. We need to together collect as much information as possible, share others' ideas, mill it around in your own head, and move on, and collect more information, and share others' ideas, and mill it around in your head, and move on, And then here comes a new piece of information. And let's consider this aspect of it. Let's talk to this guy. Let's talk to that lady. This is a real good exercise in objective research and putting your emotions aside and just following the evidence. It's being radically skeptical. Another topic in this category would be the no planes thesis. Jeff Grubb on his website, you go to his YouTube channel, you can listen to, a show he's done on, is it absolute proof that there were no planes and it was all a good photo editing job? It's not absolute proof. But what is proven is the bizarre photographic and videographic anomalies and inconsistencies that make you at least ask the question, are they playing with this? Is this designed to fall apart? Is the whole story something bigger than they thought we could even imagine? On my website, Infowarts.com, I've got a 20-second video of the second plane strike. And then I've slowed that video down frame by frame. And at one point, you can see what, and this is a rough estimate, 30 to 60 feet of the fuselage come through the other side of the airplane, come through the other side of the building before the explosion. And it makes you wonder, what is going on here? How did that plane make it all the way through? Now, does that mean it shot a uranium penetrator through first? Does that mean it's a hologram? Does that mean it's just a real good Photoshop? Does this mean it's patched in after the fact to, start rabbit trails? All those are possibilities. All that's worth considering. But at first, all we need to do is just examine the evidence. And when you have photographic evidence of 30 to 60 feet of an aluminum airplane just traveling through, one of the world's largest skyscrapers at that point, all it can do is make you wonder and ask more questions, which is the healthy thing. Sometimes a good, big, nice, juicy, fat word problem might take you a little bit to solve it. You can't just hit 5 keys on a calculator and come up with the answer. It's going to require thinking and effort and consideration. Because again, we can agree that, something's up. They are not on our side. The mainstream media is corrupt.
This is not a war of choice. This is a war of necessity.
Let's get to the nub of the matter. Are you a 9/11 truther?
Of course we're after Saddam Hussein. Bin Laden.
Well, deep in my heart, I know the man's on the run, if he's alive at all. And who knows if he's hiding in some cave or not. We hadn't heard from him in a long time. Terror is bigger than one person. And he's a person who's now been marginalized. So I don't know where he is, I just don't spend that much time on him.
But we must never forget, those who attacked America on 9/11 are plotting to do so again.
What's going to happen to the arms industry when we realize we're all one? It's going to fuck off the economy that's fake anyway.
This is the Next Step Radio Show on the Anti-Matter Zone Radio Network. I'm Jacob Appelman, your host. Yuri Lane provided us with the intro and outro music today. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us on episode number 7. We'll see you back here at episode number 8. Email me if you have any questions. TheNextStepRadioShow@charter.net. That's TheNextStepRadioShow@charter.net. My website, www.infowarts.com, infowarts.com. I've just started a new YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and look for Next Step Radio, or go to infowarts.com, there's a link on the right-hand side. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow at episode number 8. Tilt your hammer.
Thank you.